Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 22nd of November, recording at 9:56 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights today. There are a few, I guess. The Asian stock markets were quietly mixed. And this is a quieter day generally. The European stock markets were all a little bit lower, somewhat more for Spain and Italy. There was a Spanish debt auction here today, and the eyebrow-raising figure, well, the yields were higher, but the eyebrow-raising figure really was the three-month Spanish bills. Now, they were sold at a yield of 5.11, and bear in mind that on the 25th of October, just last month, and barely 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago, they yielded 2.29%. So a big jump. It's ridiculous. I think whoever got the three-month bills is pretty happy with it, but it just shows that the nervousness that still exists in those markets. Now, the North American stock markets and Central American stock markets a little bit easier. The S&P closed down less than half of 1%, but that was nearly 5 points, bringing it down to 1188. And there's a bit of disappointment over the third quarter GDP figures for the U.S., which came in at 2%, whereas some people had been hoping for about 2.5%. Elsewhere, the U.S. dollar a tad easier here today. And euros up to 135.05. But it's really very, very quiet in the currency market today. Gold did bounce up $22 as I speak at $16.99. And the other precious metals were firmer as well. Silver had a very good day, up $1.61 to $32.80. But of course, they've all been hit. They were hit hard yesterday. Now, and a bit last week, grain and bean complex weaker, crude oil stronger, Brent back up to 106 and change. And the WTI at just under 98. That's pretty much it. The industrial metals were mostly a little bit easier, with the exception of nickel, which had steadied, was the only one to have steadied a little bit yesterday, but it's down a little bit today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, still a high level of nervousness in the markets, and they are particularly concerned, of course, about this ongoing European debt situation. I've written about this here again today in terms of the process which is taking place, as I see it at any rate, and I think this is often misunderstood. People are appalled by all the chaos on a day-to-day basis. But if we take a longer term view in terms of what's actually going to take place here, and if we look at the central themes, we know that Europe has a horrific debt problem, and that obviously has to be addressed. But the key planks here, European leaders have maintained throughout that they are unanimous in their determination to preserve the Euro dream. Now, we also know that they cannot do that by austerity alone, because that would prove will provide sufficient hardship to alienate their citizens, and at its very worst, it could actually invite a European version of the Arab Spring, so-called. So the point is that Europe also needs to promote economic growth. Thus, austerity won't do it alone. Now, the elephant in the room, which people acknowledge, everybody seems to acknowledge now, except for the German monetary officials, is that the ECB is going to have to take up some quantitative easing. It won't call it that. It'll come under a different name. But I think that's all but inevitable. Now, they don't have to do that, of course, but they can say goodbye to the euro in all probability. You know, if they were to say opt for an Austrian solution at this stage, that would almost certainly lead to a breakup of the single currency, which they don't want, and probably rightly so at this stage. So instead, we're going to get, in my opinion, the quantitative easing, just like the US and the UK have done. And meanwhile, Europe is also moving steadily, much faster than many people expected, down the path of fiscal union. So I think you can get away with some austerity. Is it austerity? Well, they're going to have to roll back the welfare state. Everybody knows that, and I think, therefore, governments will be able to do that without too much unrest. And that's pretty much how I see it. And I think the situation is not as bad as markets are actually reflecting overall. But that's a minority opinion. It's a bit of a contrarian view here overall. Now, elsewhere, the markets haven't been thrilled with the super committee situation in the U.S., and boy, what a misnomer that was, calling it a super committee. I think a bigger factor for the markets here right now is the fallout from the MF Global collapse, and that has unnerved a lot of people, and I think it's led to some forced selling in the commodity markets, and it will be very damaging if it does appear that there was clearly illegal, if not criminal, activity taking place in that firm. So we'll see. MF Global was not equivalent to a Lehman Brothers, not by a long shot, but it was one of the biggest commodity broking firms. So that has led to further unwinding of positions in some of the commodities, and it's probably also pushed up the European bond yields somewhat as well, as that's where Corzine's big bet was. So, you know, there's not a lot to like in terms of the news developments. People are still concerned about China. India is not going to cut rates soon, if we believe the comments that we're hearing from government officials. So, again, as I say, in terms of the actual news, there's not much to like. What I think is attractive are valuations for the most part. There are a lot of attractive yield plays out there, and Owen's been reviewing those pretty much on a daily basis, as you may have seen. And the better performing of those shares certainly will, I trust, be of interest to a fair number of you. And I think monetary policy in the West, where it's guaranteed, in my opinion, to remain accommodative, and it's almost certainly going to get more accommodative in Europe, as I mentioned. Not tomorrow, but probably not all that long in the future. And I know the mandate doesn't currently allow that, but under special circumstances, they can either change the mandate or fudge it. Or, as I said in an earlier broadcast, I said they could actually justify the quantitative easing. They won't call it that, but that's the money printing by various forms that we've seen from the Fed and the Bank of England. They could justify that on the basis that they need to offset deflationary pressures, and that would also be maintaining price stability. And it's a valid point. So, where do we go from here? I described it as a Sisyphusian situation. He rolls the rock up the hill and then it comes tumbling back down again. It's really a question of how much ground we actually give up. The weakest markets, like some of those bank indices and the periphery countries, particularly Greece, Portugal, their indices have drifted to new lows. But what really counts is what actually happens in the US. And we've retraced over half, I believe, of the October rally. So there's still a little bit of space here to play with, but I won't relax until, and I suspect more importantly, a lot of other people won't relax until we see some upper dynamics to indicate that support is being encountered above those September and October lows that we saw. Now, ditto, China has given up probably just over half of the rally that it had seen from its October low. That October low contained two upside key day reversals, and those are impressive signals. So I remain hopeful that again that those lows will hold, but we need to see the technical evidence. I reviewed India yesterday, and I have a report on an outside report on India here today. But that market had fallen back to test its lows for the year. Studied a little bit here today, as one would expect, and it is oversold. There are a lot of short-term oversold conditions. That's another factor that's favorable, and sentiment is very bearish. But again, we're still in this limbo stage. The lows, the September and October lows, have not been confirmed for the major stock markets, and we've had inklings of a change in monetary policy from Asian countries, but it's not a full-blown event, and it's probably not going to be a full-blown event. They only do that when there's been an actual collapse, and that's something that hopefully is avoided. So, don't pay up for anything. Nibble for the shares that you like on setbacks. And gold, on a relative basis, gold's performance is still impressive. And I would give the hypothesis that I've used before, that it's in a support building phase in here right now, which is what one would expect following the overextension that we saw back in late August and early September. So I think we'll get a little bit more ranging here overall. And then there's a reasonable chance that we get gold resuming its overall upward trend in the next couple of months or so. What would delay that and lead to a bigger setback, I think, would be a sharp deterioration in global stock markets, which would also push the US dollar higher. So the US dollar will take its cue from what stock markets are doing overall. And that's pretty much it. A quiet day, as I say. All the best.